Episode 3135, Are Your Emotions the Enemy?
It's time to train for life and love your journey. In this episode of Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie, you'll learn new ways to rediscover, rejuvenate, and renew your mind, body, and spirit. Please welcome your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a stop
sign, watching people drive. Happy, happy day. I hope you're enjoying a restful weekend. I know it's just the start, but man, there's so much going on. Can you believe it? We've got Labor Day around the corner. That means if you're not already in school, your kids are already going there, you got school buses coming and going in your neighborhood, yes. And then guess what? We've got the U.S. Open. Woohoo! We've got football started, yes, both college and NFL. Are you excited? I'm so excited. But first, we have to get excited about relationships. Your love to the person you're sleeping with. Are your emotions the enemy? For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, welcome to this incredible family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already haven't had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com. where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy, Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. Well, this episode is brought to you by AIM, Inspiring Connection and Community. All right, well, I just want to get to it because there is a lot happening. And I think this is a discussion that we've had before, obviously, been around for a while, haven't we? But I think we need to talk about it, especially when new seasons are happening. We've got fall around the corner, and you're going to have more family gatherings, right? You're going to have tailgate parties, woohoo! And sometimes, even when you go to church, right, you put on this masquerade ball, and you're like, everything's fine. But you go into your own home, and within your own four walls, stuff is happening. Have you completely lost your cool? In the midst of challenging circumstances, it's common for emotions to run high, but it becomes even more challenging in marriage. Are your emotions the enemy? Because I think sometimes we have this quick, almost like the, you know, acid reflex. I know that just sounds horrible, doesn't it? But we do. We have this quick reaction like acid reflex, like, whoa, I can't go there. You are stepping on my toes, and now I'm just going to let you have it. And we've definitely pulled away from respect. And that's in just overall population, right? Just look here at the United States of America. You look at the world. And we are just sometimes just mean, frankly. And we don't have respect for anybody. And we don't understand that it's okay to have discrepancies or disagreements, but you don't have to chew each other out. You don't have to go and just do whatever you want to do because you can. We've got to start dealing with our emotions and not sitting here saying, well, this is just how I feel. And so, well, I'm just going to let you have it. That's not right either. And when you're in marriage, there are two people in the marriage. And yes, I'm not saying it's all you, right? Maybe it is more your spouse. But you can't sit here and be the judge of that because you've got to control only what you can control, and that is you. So it's important to acknowledge that our emotions, as we may want them to be the enemy, they really aren't necessarily the enemy, but rather valuable indicators of what we are experiencing internally. What's going on in your body? What's happening? What's really stirring you? But you see, we just fly by the seat of our pants. We just lose our cool, and we think it's okay to lose our cool. And we don't want to have to, can I, you know, explore this a little bit more? Nope, don't have time for that. I'm busy. You know that four-letter word, busy, gets a lot of us into hot trouble. I mean, it's just like sinking sand. And it should become your four-letter word that you shouldn't say, seriously. You should never be too busy for God, your marriage, your family, then your career, and then whatever falls after that. You've got to prioritize. And the problem is when we don't prioritize and we just kind of let everything just happen, we just kind of fly by the seat of our pants. Well, yeah, that's how I feel. I'm kind of tired. I really don't want to work. So, you know, I mean, come on. Have you run into those workers before? I mean, think about it. I know you have because I have. You walk in and you're like, excuse me, I need some help here. Yeah. And you're like, and are you going to continue this conversation? Like, well, what can I do to help you? They just like, yeah. And then you have to be the one to ask a question after that. Well, I'm looking for this. Do you know where to find it? That's not my area. You got to go over there. Like, seriously? But, you know, this is what's happening even in our marriages. It's happening just across the globe, unfortunately. And I'm not going to lump some everybody into this huge melting pot saying that we're all bad. But what I want us to recognize is that if we don't recognize our emotions, and you're going to sit here and play the victim like, oh, I'm just a victim of my emotions. Really? You get to choose how you respond, my friend. You get to choose the actions that you take. It's your choice. I don't care if it's in work. I don't care if it's in church. I don't care if it's with your kids. I don't care if it's with a stranger or if it's with your spouse. You choose. And so I want you to drop the excuses. And don't sit here and be like, well, I just can't control myself. That's no longer an excuse and has never been an excuse. We've just allowed things to get out of control. And if you want to go through life just being kind of, you know, whatever, then okay, you might as well just click, stop listening to me and don't come back. Seriously. Because you're not going to like what I say. And I mean that genuinely. But if you're still listening up until this point, you're like, well, Christiane, I don't want my emotions to be the enemy. And I know there's things I deal with. And I know I'm not perfect, but I want to get better. All right, you need to keep listening. Because, yes, is it hard sometimes to control our emotions? Are we going to fall flat on our face at times? Are we going to have the moments where it's the foot in the mouth moment? Yes, we are going to have all of those. But you don't have to have them all the time. But you have to begin to understand what's happening in your body internally. And a lot of times we just don't want to do that because we're too, what's that four-letter word? I don't even want to say it. It should be foul language now, seriously. I would like that to be written in the Webster Dictionary. Yeah, put them all up with all those other four-letter words. We shouldn't use them. You should be saying, I'm productive. I'm enjoying my day, really digging in. I'm working on this. I'm, you know, writing my book. I'm, you know, we've got a project at work and this is where our focus is right now. You know, my focus has been spot on. It's been a great day. Not, oh, it's just too busy. Stop it. Just stop it. That in itself, what does that do when you say that line? I'm too busy or I'm busy. What emotions come up for you? Is it a feeling of, aha, I've arrived? Like I am just so stacked. There are so many people who need me that I have arrived because, well, yeah, you just can't get on my calendar. So there you go. Does that help you, you know, fluff your feathers bigger? Or is it one, it's like, oh, I just want to kind of have somebody like feel sorry for me because I need someone to feel sorry for me? I mean, what does that do for you? Most people haven't even thought about that. But let me tell you, if you want to walk in a relationship with your spouse, you're going to have to do some self-digging. Seriously. A lot of self-reflection. We don't want to. We don't have time for it because we're, yep, you got it. But I'm not going to say that. I want you to say, I have time for this because I am focused. And it's an incredible season to be so focused and be so productive. I've got a lot of moving parts, but I'm present with every single one of them. That's what I want you to aim for. That's what I want you to say, you know, that's where I'm going with this. So when you can begin to gain some insight into your emotions and learn how to respond to them, what does it do for you internally? What that happens in overall in your relationships, especially your marriage, is going to help promote a healthier relationship. One that might be actually a little more peaceful because you're not like blowing the gasket all the time. We don't need that. So if you want to cool down quicker than you heat up, learn what makes you tick. And that is your Kiss to Keep It Simple strategy. Learn what makes you tick because we can be that ticking bomb. If we sit here and just smush everything down because, oh, I'm just too, B-U-S-Y. Let's see. My mom used to say, or as my grandma or whoever used to say, I don't know who used to say, but somebody used to say that whether you think about it or say it or spell it, you might as well just said it because it's all the same. So, all right. I don't want you to get stuck in busy. All right. I really want you to grow. I want you to make this an incredible season that says, you know what? I need to make some changes for me. You want to be excited when you wake up. I know you got work to do. So do I. I've got a lot happening today. We're filming for our TV shows, and it's a lot of filming. We got four. And I'm like, woo, we've done a lot before, but we have not done four. So say an extra prayer for me today. But seriously, we've got to look at, okay, what can I do when I feel a little hot under the collar? What do I do when I know something's changing and I just feel like this, the insides of me are heating up? Like, I can tell you when I'm about ready to blow. I can tell you when I'm getting mad. I can tell you what I look like because I've studied myself. So how do you learn to know what makes you tick so you can really not make your emotions the enemy, but use them as a barometer? Number one, analyze your emotions. It's so important. I already kind of glossed over this just a little bit and highlighted it, but take time to reflect on your emotions. And what are those underlying reasons for them? Now, when your spouse comes home, why all of a sudden are you mad at him? Like, seriously. Is it because he was 5 minutes late, or is there something else? Was it because 2 weeks ago he didn't do what you asked him to do, and now to this day he still hasn't done what you asked him to do 2 weeks ago, so you're just mad at him? But you're just going to be mad because he's late and you've been sitting at the dinner table waiting for him, so you're going to use that as an excuse when really it's not the excuse. You confused yet? Yeah, me too. What is it really? You know, what is it deep down? The Bible reminds us in Proverbs 4, verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for it. Everything you do flows from it. If you've got hatred in your heart, it's going to show up in your voice. It's going to show up in your words. It's going to show up in your thoughts and your actions. It will confront those that you love the most. It will, I promise you. You'll save it from a stranger. You'll save it from somebody else. But boy, man, when it's your own spouse that, oh, you gave your life to, and you said, you know, till death do us part, I am all in. But man, are you going to be all in? And you're like, yep, I said I'm all in. So you get the worst of me and the best of me. Is that really fair? I mean, yeah, there are times that, yeah, you got to kind of have a few of those moments, but they've got to be moments. They can't be your every day. And you know what I'm talking about. If you got a little hot temper, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some have a higher hot temper than others. Some know how to temper their temper, right? So by honestly assessing your emotions, you can better understand the root causes, such as unmet needs. Are you really mad at him because, well, he's not doing things that you need him to do, but he's willing to do everything for everybody else, including the neighbors, his work, his best buds, a stranger on the street, but you're like, hello, here I am. We've been married 18 years. Where have you been all my days? Can you not do what I ask you to do? Maybe it's unrealistic expectations. You guys really haven't had a discussion. You made assumptions instead. And so you're living by assumptions. That will so get you into trouble, my friend. Maybe it's unresolved conflicts. Yeah, remember 2 weeks ago? You're mad at him because you asked him to do something and he didn't do it. So still to this day, he comes home about 5 minutes late. You've been waiting for dinner with the kids going crazy. So you're kind of already feeding them, but you're sitting down. You're like, I like hot food, but well, I'm not going to get hot food today because, well, he's late. And then he walks in and what do? You turn and look at your watch and you just stare at it. And then all of a sudden it's grumble, grumble, grumble. And there goes the weekend. There goes the rest of the night. There goes the rest of the days you get to spend together, but you're just mad. Unresolved conflicts. Consider journaling. If you don't have someone to talk to, okay, I would highly, highly recommend journaling. Just write whatever comes to you. And guess what? If you don't want anybody to see it after you've written it, you can go shred it. Almost everybody has a shredder now. If it was the wintertime, I would tell you to burn it. But I don't want you to light a match and burn things down because it's so hot outside. You do not need to be lighting any matches outside to burn anything. So consider journaling. Write it out. Just let it go. Remember, you're not editing this. You're just letting yourself flow. And then come back at another time and read what you wrote and be like, whoa. Have some self-discussions, like literally talk out loud. When no one's around, of course. Maybe you need to do a walkie-talkie. We had that before. If you didn't listen to last week's episode, go to last week's episode. I'll try to make note of that in the episode or in the show notes. But it's episode 3,128, Strong Anchor Lines. And we talk about walkie-talkies. But maybe you need to take a personal one. You're just going. Get out whatever you need to get out. Go walk where no one's going to hear you and have this kind of under-the-breath conversation. In my opinion, have it with God. That's what I do. I love it. Also, if you do have that trusted friend, you can discuss it with them. But let me tell you, it's got to be a trusted confidant. If you've been burned, you do not want to give somebody any fuel, okay, to add more fire in your marriage. Seriously, the wrong kind of fire, I mean, right? Emotions that are not intact. So you got to be very careful with that. So analyze your emotions. Don't be afraid of what you don't know. Explore them. Ask yourself questions like, why am I mad that he's 5 minutes late? Like, seriously. Maybe I should be asking him, everything okay? Did you catch some traffic? I'm so glad you're home. And I give him a hug instead. Wow, would that change things? And then you're like, but what happened like 2 weeks ago? How do I deal with that? Well, that should have been dealt with 2 weeks ago. Or 3 days after it wasn't done. Or you remind him and say, hey, babe, you know, I asked you to do this. I know you have been so focused on this other project. Can we take some time at some point where we can do this and I can help you? You know, just tell me when it is and I'll make myself available so long as the kids aren't like, you know, pulling at me or something. Because, you know, kids always win. So analyze your emotions. Don't be afraid. Seriously. Now, if you do have some very serious, complicated things you need to deal with, especially in your past, that has nothing to do with your spouse, listen carefully. I would encourage you to get professional help. Yes, I believe in it. And you may need some besides just a confidant or yourself or even a pastor. You need someone even more. So consider that. There's nothing wrong. My opinion is everybody needs a therapist and everybody needs a coach in their life. Seriously, I have one. I do. And they're so important in my life. You need to be able to feel that because sometimes we're just human beings and we just kind of need to let the steam go. Just kind of get it out and then we can deal with it. Others are like, no, I just don't want to deal with it. But the problem is then something happens or there's a decision that has to be made and you make that decision based on everything you've been keeping score of for the last 15 years. And then you're like, that's it. I'm going forward with it. And you make the wrong decision. And it changes the trajectory of your relationship. That's a dangerous cycle to be on. So I really encourage you, if you are truly struggling, and you know if you are, you don't have to sit there and say, oh, I don't know. You don't have to hem-haw about it. Be honest. If you're like, Christine, it's not in our budget, I understand that too. So start with your local church. Reach out to your county medical offices. See if they have some that either offer counseling at a reduced cost or possibly free. Now, you may not be able to go for as long, but reach out. You won't know unless if you ask. And there is no shame in asking, my friend. There is no shame, okay? There's shame in hiding. Yes, but there isn't when you ask. All right, if more people would ask for help, we would be in a different position than where we are today. Number two, change how you respond. Man, our emotions, it's easy, right? We just like, we react. It's like, rah! I'm all over you. It's like the tiger. Or sometimes it's like, I want to be this shy little bunny rabbit. I just can't handle things, so I'm just going to stay quiet. Either way, not real great. We've got to figure out what works, and we've got to change how we respond. We don't want to react to everything. So once you've gained awareness, right, of your emotions, you've got to change your response with them. When you have this intentional effort that says, okay, when I'm feeling like this, I know that I'm going to say something, I'm going to do something, like I need to step back, then step back. If that means you need to leave the room, you leave the room. Whatever you need to do to control that. And in fact, if you have kids around, make sure they're safe before you leave the room, by the way, okay? Safety first, always. But then yes, leave the room. But when you are looking at changing how you respond, it requires intentional effort and a willingness to seek guidance. And you can do it not just on your own, but also from God. I mean, I rely on it all the time. Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7 says this: do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You don't have to do life alone. You don't have to rely on your own strength. Say, in the moment when it's happening and you feel the boiling water within you, right? You're literally boiling inside. You know what I mean? You've gotten hot under the collar where you can like feel the heat as if it starts from your toes and it's coming up your legs and all of a sudden it hits your chest. And you're like, oh man, I'm getting so hot. It's just going to spew out of my mouth and I'm going to be this dragon on fire. You better watch out. You don't have to do that. For me, when I know something's happening, I'm like, okay, Lord, you got to take this. Now, I don't say it out loud like that. I'm saying it to you like that, so you get it. But in my mind, I'm like, Lord, you've got to take this. I can't do this. Calm my mouth. Shut my mouth. Tie it shut and open up my ears. Seriously. And then I just listen and I focus. And I am so ever present that I'm not focusing on what I'm feeling. I'm focusing on what's being said to me. And then if I don't know how to deal with it, I said, okay, I understand. Give me a minute. And I just walk away. That's it. I don't have to say anything else. It's like, ooh, I got to stop. Time out here. Time out. Putting mama in time out. It's okay to go in time out. Works for kids. It works for adults. So don't be afraid to seek God's wisdom and rely on his strength to respond with love and grace and self-control, right? That self-control is hard, and that's what we're lacking in this world today. And we definitely lack it in marriage because why? Oh, well, our spouse is supposed to love us till death do us part. They're supposed to accept the good with the bad and the ugly, right? No, we still have to respect and love them too. We have to be gracious to them. We have to have some self-control rather than allowing anger or frustration to dictate our actions. You got to change how you respond. It's going to look different for everybody. For some, it's going to be one of those things where it's like, well, I get kind of hot on the collar when it comes to this particular topic. Okay, great. You know that. So what can you do? Maybe, I know this sounds strange, but hear me out here for a minute. Okay. I'm going to give you real stuff, real tangible tools and strategies. If you're one who's like, Christiane, I'm just going to let things go. Like it gets me so mad and hot under the collar that it's one of those things where I just want to spew four-letter words and it's not the word busy. It's the bad kind. Okay. So when you know you're going to kind of probably be in a tough situation or you have to have a tough conversation, have a drink with you. I'm not talking about alcohol, by the way. Seriously, no alcohol allowed. Okay, it's allowed, but you know what I mean. I'm talking about just like a water bottle or something else. Seriously, listen to me. This is a good one. And if all of a sudden something's being said and you're like, oh, that's just getting under me, start drinking. Start drinking. You can't talk when you have water or liquid in your mouth. You cannot. Because if you do, you know what happens. You're going to look like a fool, number one. Right? You're going to have stuff all over you, which means whatever outfit you have on is, depending upon what you're drinking, of course, maybe ruined or not. And then you have to change your clothes, and then that's for a whole nother conversation, right? You won't speak when you got liquid in your mouth, so drink. And when you're drinking, just listen. breathe deeply. I kid you not, this works, my friend. You drink, you breathe deeply, and you just focus on what's being said, not what you are feeling. Because when we go to that place of, oh, I'm feeling this and I'm just really going to, oh, I'm going to let them have it. That's it. If you get to that place, what happens? You're going to explode. You're going to become the tiger that goes, roar, you know, and you're all over it. You don't want to do that. Nor do you want to be that timid bunny rabbit that doesn't, you know, want to show up at all. So you've got to be present without spewing your emotions everywhere. So I kid you not, this works. Have a drink. Take the water bottle with you. I'm all for water, okay, because it's easier. And if it does, if you do something, it's easy to clean up. Does it make stains? All that jazz, okay? So I would say water. But if it's in the winter, for example, and you've got hot tea, great. But you can't drink it as fast, so you got to sip it and sip it a long time. Water, I can drink and swallow. I can drink some more and swallow. You may drink 24 ounces by the time the conversation's done. But guess what? If that's the most water you've ever had, that's the best day of your life. Your cells will appreciate it. Your brain will appreciate it. And guess what? You will appreciate it because you will have somewhat drowned out the emotions for a moment, allowing yourself to listen carefully, remove yourself then from the situation to digest it, figure it out, to gather yourself, and then come back at another time. Okay? Now, you can have that drinking anywhere. Now, for me, I need to drink a lot of water. I average 3 liters a day. Yes, I do. I kid you not. And sometimes I drink 4 liters a day. And if I'm working out, I probably drink 4+. I just need a lot of water. And I feel really, really, really good when I do. When I don't, my cells are in starvation mode. And they're like, they're like crying out to me, Christy, I've got to have more water. So for me, I always have a water bottle with me. Always. It's always with me. If I'm going grocery shopping, usually there's a water bottle with me. My cup or whatever. Now, if it's just running in there for one or two things, not a big deal. But it's hot outside, so I don't leave my water in the car. I bring it in with me. So you can even have it when you're in a conversation with a stranger and you're like, I really do not like what's going on here. Just drink, 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 drink. All right? It's a real tool. Utilize it. And then go back. And go back to number one, right? Analyze. Why did you feel that? What was it? Was it really because of what was being said, or was it how it was being said? Was it the tone of voice? Like, literally figure out what is it that's getting on your nerves, okay? Because that will begin to help you understand what sets you off, what makes you tick, what triggers you. And then finally, number 3, deal with your emotions. It's crucial to address your emotions in a healthy manner. Now, this may involve what? Open communication, obviously, with your spouse. You may have to be told some things you do not want to hear. I have had that happen to me, and I do not like it, but I listen, and I drink water. Maybe you need to seek professional counseling, which we already talked about. Maybe you need to participate in some marriage enrichment programs, like you're going to a Christian marriage conference or something that your church is hosting. Or you drive into a bigger city. There's some online programs that are out there. Again, make sure you do your research. Don't just go spending your money to spend your money. Some people are out there just to get your money. Others are out there, yes, to work hard for you and make changes for you. And you can invest in your marriage. And I wholeheartedly believe in that. But I do say, make sure you know where you're getting your stuff from, okay? It's just being wise. Ephesians 4, verses 26 and 27 reminds us, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Now, some people would say, well, okay, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. That means I can't be angry at my spouse. This is going to be my fresh take on this, okay? Whether you agree or not, this is my fresh take on what Ephesians 4, verses 26 and 27 are saying here. You've got to be okay with what you're feeling on the inside when you lay down and go to bed. Because if you personally are not, then that is what builds that cavity in your heart that leads to bitterness and resentment, where you're keeping score. And this can be with any relationship, any relationship. It could be your boss. It could be your spouse. It could be your children. It could be, yeah, even a stranger. It could be a random phone call that you had, and for whatever reason, it's just still like nagging at you. You're like, I just don't understand why this is bothering me. So do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, while you're still angry. Now, does that mean that you and your spouse, if you've had a disagreement, you're going to solve everything before you go to bed? I do not think we always will. And at times, I don't think you always should. Because there are times that you just need some separation there. I'm not saying separation as in you're not in the same house. I'm not talking about that kind of separation. I'm talking about the conversation that you had, the disagreement, the heated argument. It's not going where it is. Maybe you need a little bit of space. That separation is space, some time to really collect your thoughts before you go forward and say, this is what I need to be doing. So what does that look like for you? So when it comes to don't go to bed angry, yeah, for you personally, but that doesn't mean that you and your spouse don't have some things still to resolve when you do go to bed, okay? That's just my FYI, because sometimes you got to have that space. And sometimes it takes more than just a couple hours. It takes like 48 or 72 hours before you can come together and really be like, okay, let's try to get here on the same page. I know we disagree here, but let's look here. And when you allow yourself that space, right, engaging in constructive dialogue and seeking resolution, it can prevent resentment from building up, right? That cavity in your heart, which then what? Causes further damage. So embrace forgiveness, extend the grace, strive for understanding, and make the necessary changes to restore harmony in your marriage. Remember, when you're dealing with emotions and all, it's just a beast of its own, isn't it? But I want you to listen to this, and this is bonus. James 1, verses 9 through 20. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce a righteousness that God desires. We've got to be quick to listen and slow to speak. We have two ears for a reason and one mouth. Drink your water, my friend. Drink your water. But when you look at this, right, this verse emphasizes the significance of listening attentively, intentionally, before responding, and highlights the negative consequences of allowing anger to control your speech. Now, it mentions here anger because anger can destroy everything very quickly, but so can other emotions. Love and lust, Yeah, it can destroy marriages in a heartbeat, right? What else? Even those who are just kind of complacent and they don't really have an opinion, they don't want to show their emotions because, well, it was better when they were growing up not to show emotions, and that's how they protected themselves. But their spouse is like, but I want to know how you feel. And the spouse is like, I don't know how I feel because I've never expressed myself. We got to listen. Be quick to listen. Slow to anger on anything, on any emotion. We got to be slow to it. And I want you to listen how you sound, right? Do you have this nagging voice that sounds like a mother, right? Your husband did not marry you and say I do to you because he wanted you to be his mother. I'm just saying, putting it out there. It's real. Don't act like that. What can you do to change how you're received? Yeah, that's what you control, my friend. Maybe it's a look. Maybe you have this death-defying stare. Oh, my kids know mine, and so does my husband. And they know it, and I can just give it, and it is like, ooh, it shoots for miles, literally. They know, they're like, oh, Mom, I can feel her presence. Oh, they've told me that before. I'm like, I wasn't even in the room. Oh, yeah, but I knew Mom. And it actually worked to their benefit, but it's kind of funny, right? We can laugh about it now, but they know the look. But practice patience, humility, and most definitely self-control. And when you can do that, you can avoid destructive effects of anger and other emotions that can take hold of your marriage and rip it apart. You really want to promote this idea of righteousness and respectfulness in our interactions, right, with each other. And imagine if our world was just that. Remember, your emotions are not the enemy, and they don't have to be. They can serve as valuable indicators of your internal experiences. Use your emotions as the barometer of where you are within a situation. How much is something really bothering you? What is it? When you analyze them and recognize your triggers and what is happening inside you, that exposes how it shows up on the outside. Then you can change how you respond and actively deal with your emotions. And when you do all of that, what do you think it does? Yeah, you get to grow this beautiful garden of healthy emotions and an emotional dynamic within your marriage that is like, wow, this is awesome. You'll be more connected than ever. So trust God, right? Rely on Him, seriously. And then seek support where needed. Find that therapist, that counselor, that coach. Go to a marriage conference together. Maybe you need to go, you know, to one by yourself, but then I would encourage you to go as husband and wife. Really allow yourself to dive deeper into what you're feeling. My friend, are your emotions the enemy? They so are not the enemy, unless if you choose to make them the enemy. Go in peace, be present, be incredible, be you. I love you so very much. I cannot wait to see you on the other side. Blessings, hugs, and lots of love. We'll talk to you real soon. Have a glorious, blessed day. Bye-bye.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.